I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on about 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday morning, January the 3rd. And we have a guest with us this hour who will give us a different perspective on the FDA announcement last week that food from cloned animals is safe to eat and the sale of it should be allowed without special labels. Last week, we heard from a guest who didn't like this prospect very much and who said consumers should, at the very least, be told that the food they are buying comes from a cloned animal. She says even if it is safe to eat, it is objectionable to many. So we wonder if you worry about the meat and milk from cloned animals showing up on your grocery store shelf or favorite restaurant. You shouldn't be worried, according to our guest this hour, and we will welcome your questions and thoughts for him at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Or you can send us an email, talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. As mentioned last week, the FDA released this announcement and this study and has opened up a 90-day public comment period. You can go to the FDA's website for more information about that. I think it's fda.gov. Our guest is Dan Schaefer. He is a professor and chair of the Department of Animal Sciences at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He teaches a beef cattle production course and researches beef cattle and beef quality topics. And he joins us in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for coming in. So the bottom line then from the FDA that the food, the meat and the milk from cloned animals is safe to eat, and you concur.
I would concur. Mm-hmm. I think that they make a very nice case from the available literature that's published for scientists to review that while there are some abnormalities that are associated with this method of this reproductive technique, the food resulting from those animals is not different in composition from meat and milk produced by non-cloned animals.
Yeah, so we know this because this has been researched for a long time.
Well, not really. Mm-hmm. I would say that the techniques for cloning have been developing for several decades. Significant progress occurred in the 1980s. Then it was in the 1990s when it became more technically possible. Dolly the sheep became the most visible example of cloning from a somatic cell, that is, from an adult cell. I guess I might mention in reading and reflecting on this topic, some of the early work that supported the development of this technique was done here at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and some in my department. So Dolly the sheep became the most visible example, and now the question becomes, if this is practiced to a greater extent, what should be done with those animals and the products derived from those animals?
Yeah. So I was wondering why this was even a question. Are there companies out there planning on cloning a bunch of animals for food production?
I would say no. The use of this technique and the cloning of animals is done when someone, for instance, has identified a very elite animal, and particularly an elite female, and they wish to multiply the genetic impact of this female in some kind of livestock selection program. An example could be a dairy cow. And in which case, then they want more copies of that cow, and so cloning would be done. It is an expensive technique. It is not a particularly efficient reproductive technique for multiplication of animals. So when one chooses, when an entrepreneur chooses to go down this path, they would want to be enticed that there'll be some economic payoff. to simply produce this kind of animal for entry into commerce as a food-producing animal, no, there is not sufficient economic incentive.
Yeah. The guest from the Consumer Federation of America that we talked to last week said, while she didn't have any reason to doubt or question the study that says the meat or milk from a cloned animal is safe for human consumption, she was adamant that at the very least the people should have a label on that product so they would know that they were buying a product from a cloned animal. What's your thought? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that labeling is fine. I would say that's not really a question of science, and I'm probably more comfortable commenting on questions of science. I think from my perspective, however, that if labeling were put in place for products derived from cloned animals, it would have a significant suppressing effect on the availability of this product, these products in commerce. For the following reason, especially in the case of, well, both milk and meat, the number of animals that are cloned and available for meat production or cows available for milk production is very small. So for a company to track the product derived from those animals would be almost pointless because of its insignificant contribution to total food supply. So I believe that a milk processing company or a meat processing company would say, if we need to track the product from those animals, you can just keep those animals. We don't want to get involved.
We're going to check our weather forecast. We are talking with a guest who knows about cloning, animal cloning, and says consumers really shouldn't be alarmed about the prospect of some food from cloned animals appearing in grocery stores anytime soon. Our guest is Dan Schaefer. He's a professor and chair of the Department of Animal Sciences at UW-Madison. You can talk with him, ask him a question by calling 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's about 18 and a half minutes past 7 o'clock. We're talking about whether the meat and milk from cloned animals is safe for humans to consume, and should it be sold in grocery stores without a label? We talked about this last week with a guest from the Consumer Federation of America who was not very happy about this announcement from the FDA last week. We are talking this hour with a guest with a different perspective and a different expertise, Dan Schaefer, professor and chair of the Department of Animal Sciences at UW-Madison, who teaches courses on beef cattle production and researches beef cattle and beef quality topics. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Before we go to the phones, Professor Schaefer, let me ask you, how widespread is cloning right now, in particular in Wisconsin?
Okay. There are no specific numbers that I could go to that would tell me how many cloned animals exist in our animal population in the state. It is simply something that's not tracked. For the sake of context, I'll just mention that I saw a Washington Post article which mentioned that that author felt there were 150 cloned cows in our national dairy cow population, which numbers just over 9 million cows. So to answer your question with regard to Wisconsin, I'm really guessing here, but I would guess that the number of cloned cows in this state, cloned cattle in this state, is on the order of 25 to maybe 40 animals.
We did hear from a caller last week when we first talked about this topic, who she was somewhere in western Wisconsin, and they did use this cloning technology on their farm, and she was explaining it was for it was for purposes of trying to improve milk production and to try to, get the best characteristics from a cow that was a good milk producer and try to reproduce that.
Yes, I believe that's the case. In visiting with one of our instructors yesterday on this topic, he mentioned to me that in the class that he was involved in teaching this past fall, this topic was raised. And one of the students in the class mentioned that they had four cloned copies of a particular cow in their herd. I would say that's an exceptional situation to have four in one herd, but it does speak to the fact that cloned cows are present in this state.
Yeah, and maybe we should clarify too. You mentioned before we started the interview that a cloned cow is not a genetically engineered animal. What exactly is it?
All right. Mm-hmm. A cloned animal is simply a copy of another animal. I've read where the technology has been described as follows. It's like identical twins. In the case of identical twins, two individuals are born on the same birth date, but they are genetically identical. In the case of cloning, we have identical copies of an animal, like twins, but they're simply born on a different birth date or different birth dates. There has been no genetic engineering involved in the true sense of the term cloning. It is simply an assisted reproductive technique where an adult cell is taken from some selected animal, and that adult cell is put inside an egg, a bovine egg or a pig egg, from which the nucleus has been previously removed. So the new somatic cell is introduced into this new encasing eggshell, and then the process, there's perhaps the application of a chemical or an electrical current, which is then used to stimulate, to reinitiate growth of this new combination. There is no sexual reproduction involved in the creation of that new animal. It is the introduction of an adult cell into the egg, which will ultimately become a new embryo.
We have a full line, so let's go to the phones. Jim in Madison, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Dr. Schaefer, and thanks for coming on this morning. You mentioned that there were about 150 animals nationwide that are currently cloned. Can you speak as to what percentage of the dairy herd that, 150 out of how many dairy cows, and then what's the impact in the beef herd, would you say? And then to follow up, I'd like to know, how does this differ, the labeling issue, how does it differ in terms of what we did with the milk with BST and genetically modified plants in today's food market?
Okay. With regard to the first question, we have about 9.2 million dairy cows in the U.S. Herd. There are approximately, just under 1.3 million dairy cows in the in Wisconsin's dairy herd. So the number I was reporting, which came from a Washington Post article, was 150 in 9.2 million. And I'm suggesting a smaller number for our state's population. With regard to the beef herd, we are now at about 33 million beef cows in the country, 240,000 beef cows in the state of Wisconsin. The nature of beef cattle production is more extensive rather than the more intensive nature of dairy production, where those dairy cows are seen twice a day by their owners when they're milked. In the case of beef cows, they may not be seen for a couple days or longer. So there simply is not as much application of this technology in the beef herd. Then your last question had to do with the labeling issue, labeling of this product relative to RBST when it was an issue in milk production. That labeling, I haven't followed this particularly closely other than by watching the milk sales in the grocery store where I shop. And certainly I saw those labels appear when this was a hot issue. I expect that labeling of meat or milk from cloned animals, if it were to be available in a sufficient supply to warrant its tracking by a processor, those same kind of labels could appear on these products. I do believe that after a time, as is the case, has been the case with RBST labels on milk, the labeling wouldn't be such a big deal any longer.
Yeah, those labels were more that this is a bovine growth hormone-free milk, not that beware there's bovine growth hormone in this milk. Isn't that right?
Well, there is bovine growth hormone in all milk.
Right, I know. But the labels were not labels saying it's present. They were labels that said that would say
it's free.
It's not present.
That's correct. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. That's true.
We have how much I have here that Jim was also curious about how much of this, of the milk and meat, would really enter the food market. You're saying not very much, obviously, if the numbers are that low.
That's the implication. It's not much. Obviously, if there are some, however, one could say that in the case of this dairy herd in western Wisconsin, your caller that you mentioned mm-hmm. earlier, if they have some cloned cows in their herd, what should they do with those cows when they finish using them in their herd? If this policy is ultimately approved, as proposed by Food and Drug Administration, they would be able to sell those cows into commerce. If not, then those cows could not enter the food chain, and they would need to be disposed of in some other means.
Carol in Freedom is with us now. Hi, Carol.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
My question is not so much the safety of the food, the animals actually entering the food chain, but more, I understand that Dolly, the sheep, died basically prematurely, that she had some defects and died of old age and arthritis. And I'm wondering, my question is, should these animals enter the breeding chain accidentally or otherwise? How is this going to affect those animals, and which will ultimately affect the food chain.
Yeah, Carol, thank you so much. We only have a couple minutes before a news break. What about the safety of cloning for the animal itself?
Yes, there was concern in the case of Dolly that there was evidence of premature aging in Dolly. I really am not sufficiently acquainted with the sheep to know exactly what caused her death or what became of her. Food and Drug Administration, in the documentation that supports this policy, does address the issue of the biological signal for tracking aging. The evidence from the scientific literature is kind of mixed as to whether or not this premature aging is occurring. The caller asked whether this type of problem would be transmitted to the offspring of the cloned animals. And here it seems to be, or I could say more confidently, that there does not seem to be evidence for transmission of this problem or other problems in the offspring of cloned animals. In other words, there's a reprogramming that goes on in the gametes of these cloned animals so that their offspring appear even closer to normal than the clone itself might be.
We'll talk more about this after we check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Our guest is Dan Schaefer, who is a professor and chair of the Department of Animal Sciences at UW-Madison. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's coming up on about 7:36 on this Wednesday, January the 3rd. We're talking with Dan Schaefer. He's a professor and chair of the Department of Animal Sciences at UW-Madison. He teaches a beef cattle production course and researches beef cattle and beef quality topics. He's talking with us about the announcement last week from the Food and Drug Administration that cloned meat, I should say food from cloned animals is safe to eat and that no special labels should be required to sell this food in a grocery store, for example. We talked with a guest last week who was upset for a number of reasons about this decision. The guest from the Consumer Federation of America was upset that the FDA made this announcement during a holiday week when few people were paying attention. There is a 90-day public comment period on this announcement before any final decision is made. She was also upset with the scientists who overlooked the health problems that she thought the cloned animals actually had, or the health problems associated with the cloning itself. She didn't have any reason to believe that the food from cloned animals was unsafe, but she still thought it should be labeled because she said the majority of Americans would object to eating meat from a cloned animal and just feel uncomfortable about it. So we are getting a different viewpoint on the issue this hour, and we welcome your questions and comments for our guest. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Professor Schaefer, you in essence are saying that people should not be worried about the meat or milk from cloned animals flooding the marketplace anytime soon.
That's correct. I don't think that this will be a major source of our food supply anytime soon.
Yeah. We were talking just before news time about the concerns over the safety of cloning for the animal itself. Our guest last week said that that was an issue. We just had a caller who wondered about what this might mean for for the the food from cloned animals. You want to conclude on that?
Sure. There is an issue associated with the production of cloned animals. It is something called a large offspring syndrome, where those pregnancies which do go to full term can result in offspring that are abnormally large, which can present problems for the mother at the time of birth, oftentimes resulting or necessitating the use of C-section. Also, it is has been observed that these offspring can suffer from a syndrome called hydrops, which is accumulation of water in the placenta and sometimes also water accumulation on the brain or in the abdomen of the newborn animal. Those are problems that are associated with this technology.
And we shouldn't be kind of leery about that and eating a steak from an animal that might have had this happen?
Yeah, these animals, consequently, animals, young animals resulting from the cloning process do not have the same survival rate as do other animals that result from other more common embryo transfer techniques or artificial insemination or natural mating. It's been observed that the cloned animals who are born with these problems die in the early days after birth. If they survive those early days, of course, by not having these particular hydrops problems, then they typically go on to have normal lives and display normal production characteristics, normal meat quality composition, and also normal reproduction.
Our next caller, Micah in Port Washington. Hi, Micah, you're on the air.
Hey, I had a few really quick things. Number one, the meats that they compared from the cattle to the cloned cattle, were the meats that they compared both at the same stage? What I mean is, was it processed cloned meat and processed uncloned meat, or was it pre-processed that they compared the two? And then another thing is just kind of my concern is there's already 15,000 different ingredients that the FDA doesn't require the food industry to put in labels, all sorts of chemicals and different factors for food that I think a lot of people should be aware about. Do we just want to add one more thing like cloning to that list of things that we don't know 100% sure? Everybody, even scientists, will say, yeah, we think it's okay. But what happens 10 years down the road? It's already a precedent. We don't have to put cloned meat in. And then, you know, this whole thing with growth hormones, you're like, oh, some people think it does affect, you know, puberty rates, or some people think it doesn't. And, you know, and then, well, it's already not an issue because they decided on it before we even really knew all of the facts.
Yeah. Thank you, Micah. What about, do you know if the FDA was comparing processed meats or unprocessed meats?
I believe that, I have not read that particular comparative data in great detail, but from my observation of the tabulated data, it is my understanding that the comparisons were done on fresh meat, that is, prior to processing. So it would be on the muscle before it has gone through any of the other processes associated with, for instance, sausage manufacture. And in that case, they looked at the nutritional composition of the meat. So its amino acid profile, its fatty acid profile, mineral content. I'm not sure that they've paid attention to vitamin content, but so it was in a pre-processed state. Then I think the caller was commenting on FDA's generally recognized as safe list of ingredients that can be used in food production. And I guess the question is whether this technology could be applied, should also be added to that list. And I think in this case, there is, you know, thorough scientific review has been done, will continue to be done during this public comment period. Certainly, if comments coming in with regard to this policy raise additional issues that could be extracted from the available scientific literature, that will be done. They do make the comment in their documentation that they will heed the comments that are received. So I encourage the public to comment on this policy. This is not something that FDA is advocating in any sort of limited way, any sort of covered way. So I think that one other comment that I would want to make to listeners is that we eat genetic material every day in the foods we eat, whether it's meat. I won't say in the case of milk necessarily, only if there's some cells in there. Mm-hmm. But in the case of plant material, vegetables, we are eating the genetic material that is normally present in cells of growing tissues. And that occurs every day for all of us. These animals, the meat and milk derived from cloned animals, is not derived from any genetic modification process.
And for the most part, if this technology does, I don't know, become more widespread in that farmers are cloning animals because they are better milk producers, for example, if anything, we would be eating or their offspring are what we would be dealing with, not so much the cloned animal itself.
I think that's a correct characterization because cloning is expensive. Mm-hmm. It will only be applied to those selected females who have for some reason demonstrated a performance record which warrants their further multiplication, copies to be made of them. So that would be done by the elite breeders in an industry. They would sell or use these cloned copies of an animal in their breeding programs, and there would be offspring produced from that cloned individual. And those offspring would now carry some enhanced genetic merit because of their parents. And then they would pass out into the population and have their genetic influence in the gene pool of the species.
We are talking about animal cloning, the safety of animal cloning, and whether the food from a cloned animal is safe to eat. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our guest is Dan Schaefer. He is a professor and chair of the Department of Animal Sciences at UW-Madison, talking with us about this announcement last week by the FDA saying that the food from cloned animals is safe to eat and should be allowed with no special labels needed. The FDA is gathering public comment for the next 90 days before any final decision on this is made. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's about 12 minutes before 8 o'clock. Our next caller for Professor Schaefer is... Oh, wait a minute. I took the wrong caller. It was Paul in Madison who was next. Hi, Paul. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
There was a small report yesterday that they're using genetic research to fight mad cow disease. I was wondering if you know of any plans of let's say, joining these two, cloned cows together with this genetic fight against mad cow disease to remove the furons from the gene pool of animals that we are currently using for food.
Well, you took the question right out of my mouth, Paul. We were just talking about that, Professor Schaefer.
Yes, thank you for that question. I haven't really thought this all through because I read that account yesterday as you did. And again, it was work reported from South Dakota in which they suppressed the expression of the genes which are responsible for the prion proteins. Then after having suppressed the expression of those genes, they cloned that line of cells in cattle. It was a bovine cell line, no doubt. So they produced cloned individuals that do not express the prion proteins. Now they hypothesize that these animals might be resistant to the introduction of the abnormally to the effects of the abnormally shaped prions that give rise to BSE. I'm not totally acquainted with all of the strategy there, but the caller correctly wonders whether this could be a technology where if the science is proven to be true, if the hypothesis is proven to be true, could this be a way of producing cattle that are resistant to BSE? That could be a challenge because the cost of cloning these animals is quite expensive. I'm told that the down payment on an entrepreneur's interest in cloning an animal is $20,000. It takes a lot of labor and a lot of reproductive material in order to produce the desired live calf or calves. I wonder how much material they use to produce those 12 Holstein bull calves, which I saw and were mentioned in the article. So in order to take that research and multiply it so that it could be a beneficial factor in commerce would take a lot of time and a lot of financial commitment. I'm speaking to the fact that it is tough to get this technology implemented in commerce in any quickly. Because the cattle industry is so large and so dependent upon the economics of production that this technology is challenged by the economic environment in which it must compete.
Next, we'll go to Dan in Wanakee. Hi, Dan. You're on the air.
Hi there. I was just curious to know if cloned meat would be labeled, and I just have the opinion, obviously people who think like me can't stop the science, but just like the biotechnology food, it's like, if you're so happy about your science, do us a favor and label it so me and my family can avoid eating it.
Yeah, and we touched on that in the first half hour. Professor Schaefer, you acknowledge that putting a label on something like this would probably hurt its sale.
Oh, I think that's true. Mm-hmm. And all of these food products sell to a market, and as the agricultural industries have come to appreciate in recent decades, it is much more important that we produce for a market than it is simply to produce the product. So if the market demands labeling, if this is going to be a factor in commerce, it will need to be labeled regardless of what I think or what any scientist thinks. So this is the way it works in a free market economy. You can only sell what people wish to buy.
Yeah. The Consumer Federation of America guest that we had on last week did say that surveys show the majority of Americans are very uncomfortable with this prospect and even think that the cloning is somehow unethical or immoral. I know you're here to talk mainly about the science of all this, but apparently we're very queasy about cloning, or maybe we don't know enough about it.
Well, I certainly acknowledge that there are ethical issues that come into play in this topic.
Her point was that even though it might be safe to eat, there are many reasons, you might not want to buy a product because you think it's unethical or immoral to eat.
Sure. I would say that to take this technology and think of it in terms of food production is kind of a misplaced connection, actually. I think that cloning may actually have its greatest impact in biomedical applications rather than in food production. If cloning of pigs were possible, it is possible, but if it could occur in a more commercially efficient manner, and if we could produce pigs that were free of infectious agents relative to human health, we might be able to produce organs from those pigs, those cloned pigs, that could satisfy the deficiency that exists in availability of transplant organs. So one never knows where this science carries us. I personally don't make the connection between cloned animals and food production.
Yeah. Jeff in Albany. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Basically, he just kind of answered the questions I had. My question was, if it's so expensive to do this, there had to be a payoff somewhere along the line, and I thought, well, what if the payoff is in prime meat, which may not be the most healthiest thing for humans to eat large amounts of, but it sounds like the real payoff is in the biomedical end of it. And so I guess I really don't have a question anymore.
Well, I'm glad that you called, though, because that is your point, is that when somebody's cloning animals, they're not necessarily thinking they're going to make up their expense with selling more milk, right? I mean,
No. In all of these technologies, the leading edge innovators oftentimes can capture a reward from their entrepreneurial efforts. But when it filters down into broader application in commerce, then the competition becomes even more intense, and it's difficult for the late innovators to actually capture a value from a technology.
Yeah. Well, but then again, we also hear when something's brand new, that technology is very expensive. But then once we know how to do it, it's not very expensive.
Well, that's true too. There's lots of things there are some things that get done in biological science which are done and are very novel because they haven't been done before. time has a great way of filtering out the value of the technology. I myself was involved in a research project where we used in test tube produced calves, and I was interested in knowing whether those test tube produced calves could actually have a role in a commercial beef production system. And I was involved in the project for approximately 10 years, and then eventually I determined that it simply wasn't going to work. It was a concept that had nice appeal, but the technology was not good enough. It was all possible, but it wasn't good enough to actually have an economic impact.
Yeah. And in the final minute or so that we have left, again, your prediction here is that we're not going to have our store shelves or restaurants flooded with meat from cloned animals, that this particular FDA decision is just there for the little bit of cloning that's going on, that these animals could end up there, but not in great numbers.
I would agree. I don't expect a large number of cloned animals. And it may be that the ultimate value to society for this technology is through a biomedical application rather than an agricultural application.
Yeah. And we have 90 days to comment to the FDA. You encourage people to comment, but at the end of that period, you suspect there will be an approval of this idea?
I would say, I would forecast yes, because I think the available scientific literature for cattle, pigs, and goats is good enough to support the consumption of these products. And probably the comment period will have a large impact on whether labeling is actually mandated for this product.
Thank you very much for being here.
My pleasure.
Dan Schaefer is a professor and chair of the Department of Animal Sciences at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He teaches beef cattle production and researches beef cattle and beef quality topics. If you would like a CD copy of this or any of our programs, you can call the radio store, 1-800-747-7444, 1-800-747-7444. We also archive all of our talk shows, and they are available for listening at your convenience on our website, wpr.org, wpr.org. Thanks to Leo Duran for producing this hour and to Karen Prager for on-air production. I'm Joy Cardine. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.